We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
On the Wolfpack Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Play ball!
Welcome to the Nevada Wolfpack Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Josh Sushon.
Nevada Baseball Podcast Regional Edition, Special Edition. Postseason June edition. Coach TJ Bruce joins us right now. We were at the watch party at the Basin Street Club at Mackey Stadium. The selection show came down at 9 a.m. Pacific. Nevada is in the Palo Alto Regional. They are taking on the two seed, UC Irvine, at 6 o'clock on Friday. The host team is Stanford. They are the one seed. They're the eight seed, the nine seed in the overall tournament. I'll check that. And they will face the four seed, North Dakota State, the Bison. Coach Bruce, you're in the regional. You're in the tournament. You're playing in June. Man, like it happened.
Yeah, it's that June edition has a pretty good ring to it. But it's just, I keep saying it, but it's just a tribute to the players, you know, a tribute to them and all their hard work and perseverance and their belief in each other. It was fun to watch those guys celebrate today.
What changes? You know, after a season that's a grind, and even without a lot of midweek games, you're still playing three games in 24 hours, and unlike other sports, there is this war of attrition. I guess the, you know, pro basketball regular seasons like this a bit. There's a war of attrition in baseball, you know, arms, you know, you got to keep guys healthy because you play so many games. What changes now?
Well, I mean, I'd like to tell you that nothing changes.
I know you want to tell me that. Yeah.
You know, but I think there'll be some changes, but in all honesty, I think it's going to be whoever can get comfortable the fastest is going to have the best shot to do well in the postseason. I mean, I think the perspective, you got to keep perspective. You know, fortunately for us and our group, we've been playing an elimination game for the last 6 weeks. You know, so our mindset's not not really going to change, because now this really is. Now there's, you know, you're eliminated from a conference race 6 weeks ago, and then you still have 5 weeks left to play. I mean, you lose two games in the next three weekends or 4 weeks, you're out. You won't play again. That 21 team will never be forever. So I think that part helps a little bit. I think it's just, you come down to emotions and how we can keep those in check and how we can just keep it the same. I mean, baseball, it's 90 feet. Everybody has the same bat, same ball, same gloves, 90 feet, 6 feet, 6 inches. There's umpires. There'll be no fans, so that part's not going to change for us either. So I think the best we can do is just try to keep it the same.
You and I have had the privilege of being around teams, and you've coached teams that have made deep runs in the college baseball postseason. Do you see similar traits in your group to those that went deep?
Yeah, you know, I think at this time of the year, a lot of teams have traits, but you know, I definitely see some, you know, comparable to a lot of teams I've been around. You know, we can win in the short game. We can win in a slugfest. And I think that's a tribute to them and a team. That's what team offense does. You know, it's a lot like yesterday, you know, in our game versus San Jose. I mean, we haven't bunted a whole lot lately in the last, I don't know, 6-7 weeks, but all of a sudden you see a squeeze, you see a drag for a hit, you see a hit and run. You know, you saw a few different kinds of things going on, and I thought, you know, if you go back to our time together at UCLA in 13, you know, we won all those games 2-1, 3-1, 3-0, 4-0, sounded like a blowout versus North Carolina, and we win the close game versus game one versus Mississippi State 3-1, and then all of a sudden we wrap up the national title 8-0, and you're like, whoa, we're, you know. So I think you got to have those traits as the more you keep going. I think any team needs to learn how to win in a ton of different ways.
So was I accurate when I said on the broadcast that you were kind of test driving some small ball for June? Because that's what I thought you were doing. I guess it was a tight game early. The Spartans were up 1-0.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're always trying to go the pace of your team, you know, and I think that's any coach in the country, you know, you're going to go what they need to do to win. It's not, hey, this offense today, no matter what. And I remember Steve Sarkisian always saying that, because the USC glory days, I know I compare those a lot, but I was so into those guys during that time and that run that they had. But somebody was, you know, they were popping off about Sark only has system quarterbacks per se. You know, they had all those running backs and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden he goes, you give me my quarterback and my personnel and I'll give you my offense. And I thought that was such a great saying. I think it's the same as yesterday. You know, I thought we were a little out of character early. I thought San Jose did a really good job on the mound, keeping us off balance. And so I just thought for us to get comfortable, we had to start doing some things. And then sure enough, our approach changed. We started controlling strike zone, and then we kind of opened it up. But early, you know, we did try some things, and then we kind of got ahead, and then we tried to squeeze. You know, but I think part of it was because we needed that yesterday. But part of it is, I know playing at night at Stanford on a Friday night, I think it's, you know, you're going to have a ton of weapons.
That fog bank, that marine layer is going to come in like a giant wave over those mountains. You know, like sunken diamond faces the same direction as Spicoli. There's the mountains and everything.
Yeah, I mean, in the daytime, it's going to play pretty good, pretty true. You know, I think most of those schools do. You know, if you hit the ball well, you'll leave the park. But I know from the days at UCLA and Long Beach. I mean, that marine layer is is an interesting thing. You know, they even down to the details of the lights. You know, the lights, our lights don't have hoods on them. I think we got some of the best lights in the country. But Stanford has hoods on the lights.
And they're weird, like LED lights. Remember that?
So, yeah. So once you have hoods on the lights, the ball goes above the lights, you're going to have a hard time seeing the ball. You know, so I think there's so many minor details that you're going to have to go into preparation for the week.
Speaking of sunken diamond, I know you and I witnessed some battles there. Do you remember the weird gust of wind in 11?
Bo Amaral
looks like he's got a pretty easy play. Who's it? Brandon Lodge was on the mound?
Yep, Brandon Lodge was on the mound. Might have been ninth or extra innings.
Yeah, I think it was the ninth. Yeah, and it, yeah.
I turned to Coach Silverman and I said, this is weird.
Yeah.
I don't like this. And then it was like in that Bermuda Triangle down the right field line. Sure enough, ball hit down there and they wheeled the guy from first, scored, bang, bang, we lose the series.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, that's a hard place to win. The good news is you're not playing Stanford first.
Yeah, and there again, I think part of it is.
Sorry, how about that? How about that, TJ? Hey, remember the awful things that happened there? Sorry about that.
It's good, but I think the one thing I will say is everybody's, you know, not everybody, but some people have yet, like you said, they see Stanford seed, blah blah blah. Hey, good thing you're not playing Stanford. Well, Irvine's just as capable as being a number one seed, in my opinion, of any regional. They just won 40 games. Their head coach is a hell of a head coach. That was a heck of a player.
I remember him.
Yeah, one of my favorite all-time players coaching against. You know,
Coach Orloff.
Yeah, go about his work. So I think in that regard, you know, we got our hands full. I mean, there is no doubt about it. We got to be ready by the first pitch. It's not, you don't have time in these regionals to lay off and be ready by the second or third inning. You know, you got to go into the ring ready to go.
It's funny, we were talking about it off air. You know, this time of the year, so many of it's just like the whole college baseball fraternity checks in with one another. And, you know, in this sport, coaches seem to stay places longer, stay in regions longer. Certainly in the West, everybody's connected, you know, Coach Powers, Coach Savage, you, Vanderhoek, Buck. And then, you know, there's the connection with Irvine and Orloff and Bobona, both of whom were players we saw. They played after you, TJ. Does that make you feel old?
Yeah, they did. They played. Yeah, I was a volunteer at Long Beach, and they were. Yeah, I was coaching third base, and Ben Orloff was holding runners.
Yeah, like I remember them as players. It makes me feel old.
Yeah, so it's
You know Esker too, right? Esker was at Cal for a million years, and then he took over for Marquis, a legend at Stanford. And then I'm looking now. Todd Brown's a Tucson guy, North Dakota State. I mean, I haven't heard his name come up.
Thomas Eager, a good friend of mine, is a pitching coach at Stanford. Cal Poly, yep. Slow player, played for Larry Lee.
So you know all the staffs in this regional?
Yeah, all of them. Yep.
I mean, is that good or bad?
I think it's great. I'm not one of those guys that doesn't like competing against his friends. I mean, I actually love competing against my friends. In fact, Orloff and I we've been texting all day, all morning.
That's great.
Yeah, so it's great. You know, I think it's pretty cool for him. I'm so happy for him. He deserves it. You know, it's his first time he's in a regional as a head coach. You know, it's my first time as a head coach, and we're playing each other. So I think it's pretty cool. We both got a connection to John, obviously his through Skip, mine because I work for John. And then we were both assistants. You know, I'll never forget when he was coming out of pro ball, and Skip hired him right out of pro ball as a paid guy. And we spent a ton of time together on the road recruiting. And, you know, talking about recruiting and talking about different things, and just great coach, great staff. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun to compete against those guys in any regional for that matter.
I'm just going to quickly insert for the listener. When Coach Bruce talks about Skip, that's Mike Gillespie, the late Hall of Famer and legend, who was the preceding head coach at Irvine, who won a national championship as the head coach at USC. And Orloff played for Skip Gillespie and now is the head coach at Irvine. And so, yeah, it's really neat that it comes full circle. And it's cool that it's in the West, right? It's cool that it's a bus ride, right?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's going to be great for our fans. If they can allow everybody in the ballpark, that would be even better. But it'd be good. It'd be good for everybody. Like I said, we're just so fortunate to have the opportunity to be in a regional, and I'm just excited to get to work on with these guys.
What about your staff? Is this maybe not the secret weapon between you and Buck and Abe? You've got guy and Kyle, you know, you've got guys that really understand what it means to be in the postseason and how it's different and how you have to win.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think when you're talking about experience during this time, I think you're going to have to use it. But there again, this, you know, all the staffs in this regional are experienced in, whether it's been to Omaha, whether it's they've played in Omaha, whether they've coached in Omaha, you know, it's just, there's a lot of experience. And I think the experience with Stanford that we have in terms of, and not with the team, just with the park and the familiarity is good. You know, my last regional as a player was at Stanford in 2004. Abe's last regional as a player was at Stanford in 2003. You know, so I think there's a multitude of areas we can get into and how to navigate at least the park and different things. And obviously being in the Pac-12 for all those years, playing there every other year, any time you can have a little more familiarity, it's, I don't know. Does it help you? Yes or no? No one really knows, but I think it makes you a little more comfortable and allows you to get more comfortable and maybe quicker is what I would say.
Now, I mean, we're not going to send this podcast to the selection committee. I guess it is on the record. It is on the record publicly. So, I mean, you know that, but is there anything, I mean, we didn't talk about this earlier, but I mean, is there anything you have thoughts about with regard to the selections, the seeds, who got in, who didn't get in?
No, I try not to, you know, get too involved in it. As normal though, I think there just needs to become a better formula.
I mean, Gonzaga got hosed. I'll say it if you want. They're in, but they're not hosting.
I just think there needs to become a better formula for, are we counting RPI? Are we not? Is it a big deal? You know, and here I will say this on the record. Everybody's dealt with protocols mm-hmm. during the last 10 months, 12 months, 15 months. Some practiced, some didn't. Some played conference, some didn't. And the only question, my only answer is, and, you know, so the people lobbying on Twitter and social media for everybody to get in, it doesn't matter. It's, we all have a story to tell, and, you know, the people that got in, congratulations to them. The people that didn't, you know, unfortunately it didn't happen, but I don't think we should use, you know, certain things as saying why they didn't get in. But I also think that there needs to be a little better formula for, you know, some teams that got in. I mean, the ACC got 8 or 9 teams in, and none of them are national seeds. How does that work? You know, you got teams getting in with 85, 95 RPIs. I don't know. I don't really know how that works. But, hey, we got in, and that's all I can worry about.
You mentioned to me some stats before we came on the air. I mean, we're talking about you and your staff and the tournament and all this, but let's talk about your players. And you have been very quick to talk about your players. And before we shower love on, you know, Tebow and Shrum and all this, I realized this is going to be my seventh regional that I've covered and the eighth team that I've covered that's gone to a regional. UC Riverside didn't send radio in 07, but they went to the regional in Tempe. And that's silly that, you know, that has nothing to do with me other than just being at the right place at the right time. And it makes me appreciate what I hear coaches say, which is, look, it's about good players.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think, you know, I guess growing up in the game, I know, you know, I've been fortunate to be around a lot of good coaches. But I also understand that you need buy-in from the players, and they're doing the work and they're believing, and they're either going to believe you and trust you or they're not. And I think it all comes down to recruiting. You know, I've seen that firsthand. I live that firsthand. So I do. I think it's all about recruiting the right players for your program and getting the best players for your program that you can help. You know, there's too much made about, well, I can teach this guy how to hit, I can teach this guy how to field. Well, they have a lot of tools. They will need to have a lot of tools for us to be able to have, you know, some sort of a blueprint for them. But ultimately it does come down to them and their work. And we as coaches are all a byproduct of good players. And that's, I do believe that. And I believe that with this club, this isn't about me. This isn't about anybody else, but those 35 guys or 40 guys that are in that clubhouse that believed in each other and put the work in and performed.
So, you didn't, teach Dylan Shrum how to hit 470?
I wish I could tell you I could. I wish I could tell you I did, and I can sit here and pound my chest and say it's all about, you know, this and that. But Dylan Shrum is, you know, he did all the work himself, you know, through a lot of trials and errors and different things. And
a lot of injuries, too.
A lot of injuries, a lot of hit-by-pitches. I mean, he's standing in the box swinging the bat and taking pitches, not me. I know that for a fact, you know, and I think, like I've always said, I think we're just a tour guide. We give them, you know, a blueprint on how this can go and what this can do and what you can do. And then I think ultimately it's up to them to really buy in. And I think there, again, it goes back to a lot of things that matter, which is toughness and your work. I think it's all about those two things.
So just to tie a ribbon on Shrum, he has the highest batting average in the nation. He will finish with the most home runs of any player in the Mountain West, barring an absurd drop in his batting average. I don't think it's possible for him to have enough at bats. Unless he went, I don't see you guys advancing to Omaha and him going over, you know. You know, he would need to drop like 30 some odd points to not have the highest batting average in the Mountain West. We should point out statistics carry over in college baseball. They don't stop at the end of the regular season. So Shrum's going to win two of the three Triple Crown categories in the Mountain West Conference. I mean, that's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, that's, that's something he should be very proud of. You know, like I said, I mean, I've seen him grow up in our program and seen him work and, you know, the peaks and valleys. And I've seen all that. And he stayed committed to the process, committed to his faith through this all. And he's exactly where he wanted to be and where we all knew he could be. I mean, we I think his teammates believe in him. And it's just been fun to watch. I got the best seat in the house.
And then you dropped a stat about Tyler Bassetti before we started recording. Can you reset that?
Tyler Bassetti, I believe, if my research, which I think it is accurate, is Tyler Bassetti's third in the country in doubles per game. you know, so we're you know, our leadoff hitter is having a heck of a year. I mean, our whole team's having a heck of a year. And, you know, our offense is a top five offense in the country by batting average standpoints. Our defense is a top 20 defense in the country. And these players, they just keep doing it. They keep rising to the challenge.
Anything else you want to get to before we cut this and let the fans digest it and start ramping up? I guess maybe tell the fans who maybe aren't used to, you know, postseason NCAA baseball. Like, it's buckle your seatbelts. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a great time. I mean, I just think anybody that's fortunate enough to experience it, I think it's really cool time. I think it's pretty unique. You know, the four teams, I guess it's a little bit like basketball, but they go from 64 to 32. We go from 64 to 16. You know, so I think it's fun. You're going to see some things that you haven't seen. You're going to see some things that you have seen. It's kind of all hands on deck, try to win three games in that first weekend. And it's just special. It's a special time. It's special for these players and their families.
He's the skipper, TJ Bruce, Nevada Baseball Podcast, 6 p.m. first pitch Friday from Sunken Diamond at Stanford. The opponent is UC Irvine. We will have all of it on the radio, starting with the Bud Light pregame at 5:40 on 94.1 FM and 1450 AM. These games will be televised on the ESPN family of networks. That's all for now. So long, everybody.